Le Bernardin is a Michelin-starred restaurant in Midtown Manhattan. It's known for its transcendent fish dishes. And the man behind those creations is Eric Ripert. He came out with a terrific little memoir last year called 32 Yolks. It recently came out in paperback. Then, not long ago, I caught an episode of Chef's Table on Netflix that really made me want to speak with Ripert. More on that in a moment. But to start with, Chef Ripert, who is from France, told me how his parents' divorce turned food into an important part of his life.
I think my mother was giving back some love to her son, which is me, through the cooking that she was doing for us. She was trying to bring back the family together. Mm. I had a very tense relationship with my stepfather, and she was making sure that we would sit for breakfast, lunch, and dinner and have a very special experience. We had appetizer, main course, dessert. I mean, I forgot the cheese, but in between breakfast, lunch, and dinner was a different tablecloth, different china pattern, different flowers, different everything. It was a very sophisticated experience. And it's when we made peace at the table.
Now, one of the reasons I wanted to speak with you, Eric Ripert, is something that comes up tangentially in your book about Buddhism, and you practice Buddhism. But there was a recent episode of the Netflix series, Chef's Table, that's focused on a Korean monk. Her name is Jeong Kwan. Who is she and what influence has she had on you?
Jeong Kwan lives in an hermitage in South Korea. And I went a couple of times to study temple food, and when I met her, we had this kind of bonding, right? And she was extremely generous with her time and teaching the philosophy of temple food. And the philosophy is very simple. Temple food is based on a vegan diet that excludes onion and garlic because those two vegetables have virtues that are not necessarily good for monks and nons. Mm. One making them sleepy and having nightmares, and the other one, the garlic, makes you, I can say it, horny. Yeah.
It's not just about avoiding those kind of passions. It's about just having a very clean, simple palate, it seems.
Very clean, simple palate, but also it's much more complex than that. The experience of cooking for them is a practice. It's a mindfulness exercise, like a meditation. When they cultivate the plants, when they plant the seeds, they make sure that they put love and compassion in the process. They pray for the food to be beneficial to the people who are going to eat it. And then when they go to the kitchen, same thing. It's a mindful exercise, it's a meditation. But all the food that they give to the monks, nuns, or the guests has some medicinal virtues. For instance, end of the summer, they expose food a lot to the energy of the sun. So they let the food out and dry, and they eat a lot of that food. So therefore, during the cold winter, they do not get sick. They don't have the cold. They don't have a lot of sickness that we have in the West. Mm. And it seems to be working. They all look extremely healthy and young. I went there for personal reasons, not necessarily to transform Le Bernardin, which is a seafood restaurant, into a vegan restaurant. The idea was to learn fermentation, aging food, and it was a spiritual experience.
How has this experience affected your career?
Of course, I have been inspired by many of the flavors and techniques that I saw in Korea, and you see that in a taste and a flavor. Now, I am not necessarily teaching the cooks how to put love and compassion in a Buddhist kind of way. I'm not trying to convert the cooks. I'm trying to find a secular way to teach them, first of all, how to respect the products, especially because we do not only serve vegetables, we serve animals that were alive and feel suffering and so on. And it's a sacrifice of their life. So therefore, I want to make sure that we have that kind of respect. And we see some influences here and there, of course.
What do you think U.S. chefs, so whether they're on the line or, you know, people just cooking at their own range in their own kitchen, what can they learn from the spiritual experience, you think, that you had?
Spiritual experiences in cooking, I think, is very important. If you just cook without passion, without love, without being in a present, without having respect for where the products come from, which are the farmers and people who forage and fishermen and so on, I don't believe that you will cook better. And in Korea, I met another nun, and she claimed that she could discover who cooked the food. And she would say, for instance, this dish has been cooked by this person. I feel the energy, and I feel the energy of that other person. And she could know also if the person is stressed or the person is happy. We had some food, and she mentioned to me that the food was cooked by someone who was having a problem. And I was not believing that necessarily.
Yeah, how
and
did she know?
She had the feeling. She could feel that the energy of that person. And she brought one of the cook, and it was true. The person was having some problems, and she could feel it into the food. Now, most of us do not feel that, obviously, but I can guarantee you one thing. If you, in your life, had something cooked by someone in your family that put love in the food, you feel something. It's a sensation. And I think a lot of people have the same experience. They can make the difference in between something that has been cooked by someone who loves to cook and loves to put good energy in that food to make you happy, and industrial food. It explains why you can feel the love in the food.
Eric Ripert's memoir, 32 Yolks, is just out in paperback. Fantastic to meet you. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you very much. I appreciate it.